You've been outlined. You'd like one. I know there's two pages. It looks like a lot, but it kind of goes quickly. In a continuing the lesson on the question, why did Jesus die? Begin with just looking at verses in the Bible, in the New Testament, that give reason why Jesus died. And we looked at John 3:16, the Father's love, God so loved the world, He gave His Son. And last Sunday night, John 3:16, a little task, a little verse analysis, taking each word and looking at that. So this evening, we're going to look at the topic on the Jesus' last will and testament. The people have asked me, and I know they've asked you, especially about the invitation at the close of a lesson, because it always includes the subject of baptism. So they ask, what about that thief on the cross? He wasn't baptized, at least we not New Testament baptism, perhaps John's baptism, but that's another topic. Don't want to discuss whether the thief was baptized or not. That take it down that pathway for 20 minutes. But in today's society, we understand how a person's last will and testament works. While one is alive, he can distribute his treasure in any manner he chooses. One of my boys, the only years and years ago, may ask me, Dad, I need, before they reach the age of earning money, Dad, need a couple of dollars. What can I do to earn a couple of dollars? Well, wash the car. Might be a week later, Dad, what can I do to earn some money? Well, mow the grass. Well, wait a minute, last week I had to wash the car. And now you want me to mow the grass this time. Two different things, but you blessed him any way that you want to. The car didn't need washing, so mow the grass. We understand that principle. But when one dies, to receive any distribution of treasure, that beneficiary must meet the terms of the will. Oh, you need, or he's got the outline. So when Jesus was alive on earth, he distributed his treasure of forgiveness of sins in a variety of ways. But however, after he died, forgiveness of sins was obtained only in one manner, according to the terms of the will. So that's the principle of our lesson this evening. Just to illustrate that, so in your notes I put six different ways Jesus forgave sins before he died. Baptism is not mentioned in any of them. So the first one, you're very familiar with these, so I'll just describe them rather briefly. The scripture reference is noted. But there were four friends that let the palsied man down through a roof when they heard Jesus was nearby. So in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Didn't say, you need to be baptized. Repent and be baptized. No. Just saw their faith. He said, your sins are forgiven. A second illustration in Mark chapter 10. You're familiar with the rich man. Asks, what may I do to inherit eternal life? In Mark 10 verse 21. Well, one thing you lack. Go thy way. Sell whatever you have. Give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me. But of course, you know the story. Verse 22, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Why didn't Jesus say to him, go find four faithful friends? That's what he did to the last illustration. No. Didn't say, you need to be baptized. No, didn't do that. Forgave this person, or this person would have had treasure in heaven if he would have sold what he had, given it to the poor, and then come and take up his cross and follow Jesus. So, the third illustration is the woman that washes Jesus' feet with her tears and dries them with her hair and anoints his feet with ointment. Luke chapter 7, to Simon's house. So Jesus said, wherefore I say to you, meaning to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Then he adds, and he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. In verse 50, he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now why didn't he say, find four faithful friends? Or you need to sell all your possessions and come take up your cross and follow me. No. Didn't say, repent and be baptized. No, none of that. In number four illustration, in Luke chapter 19, the Zacchaeus, you're familiar with the publican, tax collector, willing to do right, wanted to right any wrong, so Jesus goes to his house. And in Luke 19, verse 9 and 10, Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Just ancestry. Didn't say go sell. Give away your possessions. He didn't say find four faithful friends. No, but he did that all those other times. Different ways Jesus forgave sins while he was alive. In Luke, another one in Luke chapter 23, this is the one everyone's familiar with. That's one of the two thieves that was crucified with Jesus, one on either side of him. And so in Luke 23, verse 42, he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Verily I say to you, today shall you be with me in paradise." Man knew something about the kingdom. He asked Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." So Jesus said, "You'll be with me today in paradise." He didn't say anything else. "Oh, I'm sorry. You need to repent and be baptized." Well, could have been baptized by John's baptism. He had information. But that's not the point. But the idea is, look at all the different ways Jesus forgave sins while he was alive. The last one, if the Pharisees brought a woman taken in the act of adultery to Jesus in John 8, verse 11, Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Well, the different ways Jesus forgave sins. They're different ways. Well, that's kind of a problem. So in your notes, I put none of the cited examples are for us today. None of them. All of the examples cited above show Jesus distributing forgiveness of sins or salvation different ways while he was alive on earth. And all of them are legitimate. They're all legal. While he's alive, he can give possessions away or blessings in any manner that he chooses. Okay? So if you think you can choose one of the examples for your forgiveness, then you can really take any of them. Most religious people choose number 5. Why not take number 2? Oh no, I'd rather just make a request. I don't want to go sell all that I have and give to the poor and come follow, take up my cross and follow you. Oh no, that's too much. I'll just say, "Lord, remember me." But no, that's just, if you can take any one of those examples, you can take any of them. Yeah. So there's one more way I put in your notes that Jesus offers forgiveness, and that's the last way. It's the lasting way, according to the terms of the will. So now when Jesus dies, he did left a will or a testament. Put 7 qualifications. Put 7?
Yes.
Okay. Did I number mine wrong? There they are. All right. For a will to be legal. All right, first of all, you have to have a testator. Or a will maker. Well, Jesus in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, "For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament." He's the testator. He's the will maker. You know, John 12, verse 48, my word will judge you in the last day. He's the will maker. It's his testament. Then number 2, you have to have the death of the testator. Hebrews 9, the next verse, verse 16, "Where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it's of no strength at all while the testator lives." All those examples I gave you in the beginning, those 6 examples, repent and be baptized was not in force. Jesus was alive. The testament is of no force while the testator lives. Then there's number 3, there's a legacy. Maybe. In Jesus' case, there is. There's something left by someone, by a will or a bequest, or something to be inherited by a will. 2 things. And I want to get to the conditions, but Jesus' will is conditional. So first of all, there's something that you can receive right now, immediately. Then there's something that you can receive when you've been faithful till you die. So you have to wait on something. Something now, something later. Well, the first thing, Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Well, there's spiritual blessings to be received. You know, forgiveness of sins and call God Father, hope of eternal life. But numerous spiritual blessings that Jesus said you can have right now, you know, by observing the conditions of the will. And then there's something later on. People do that still today in their will. If they have children, they may say when you're 18 or when you're 30 years old or certain conditions, they'll say you can have something right now and there'll be something else come along later. Well, that's what Jesus did. Now, you can have something right now. The terms, the conditions of the will. In Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful until death, then receive a crown of life. So I'll have to wait. So there's something now, something later. Number four, you have to have heirs, if you have a will. All the world is eligible. You know, you can add John 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Or in Titus 2, verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So everyone is eligible to be an heir, to receive the blessings that Jesus has. Forgiveness of sin, salvation, and that list goes on. Then a will can have terms. It can be conditional or unconditional. Jesus' will happens to be conditional. You know, I just mentioned those in Acts 2, verse 38. It said, repent and be baptized. When they asked, what shall we do? Well, Peter didn't say, go find four faithful friends. He didn't say, just say, Lord, remember me. Come into my heart. Didn't say that. He didn't say, you know, sell all you have. All these other things didn't say just you people just need to go and sin no more. That repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And then the other condition in Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful till death. I'll give you a crown of life. Okay? So there's obligations, there's conditions that are listed in Jesus' will. Number six are witnesses. Have to have witnesses to a will. In Luke 24, verse 48, Jesus said, and you are witnesses of these things. And then Peter said it in his first sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We saw the resurrected Jesus. We saw that. We're witnesses of his ministry, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension. We were there. They're witnesses. Then number seven, executors of the will. An executor is one that's appointed to carry out the provision and directions in a testator's will. In other words, that's, if you bring it way down, he or she is the reader of the will. The executor. I'm going to read the terms of the will, or read the will to the people, beneficiaries. Verse 1 are the apostles in Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things, that's whatsoever I've commanded you. So you're the executors, you apostles, go therefore into all the world. Go everywhere, preach the gospel to every creature. But then the next executors are Christians, those that were taught. Those that became Christians. So he says, and teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So teach them to observe the conditions or the terms of the will. And then in our generation, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So we're taught. It goes down. Jesus said, I want my will read to all nations. You apostles start. And they were to teach those who are taught to teach the same things that he taught them. And then Paul told Timothy, teach what I've just taught you to faithful men. So you and I are executors of the will. We are to read the terms of the will. And we preach that.
And the point also I added to this major point, the apostles were faithful executors. That's the book of Acts. The complete title of it is the Acts of the Apostles. So the actions of the apostles. So what did they do? You know, they taught the conditions of the will. From Acts 2, verse 38 forward, the apostles preached the terms of the will, and the terms were the same for everyone.
I think I put those.
Yeah, all those verses I put there. Acts 2, verse 38, the Jews were preached to. In Acts 8, verse 12, the Samaritans, and Simon himself also believed and was baptized. In Acts 8, verse 36, the Ethiopian was baptized. In Acts 9, Saul is baptized. In Acts 10, Cornelius is baptized. Acts 16, Lydia and her household are baptized, and the jailer and his household are baptized. In Acts 18, you have the Corinthians. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So the apostles were faithful executors of the will. Anytime someone wanted to know what they needed to do to have forgiveness of sins, repent and be baptized. Right. Then the last one is after the death of the testator, you can't change the terms of the will. No codicils. Can't change it. Nobody can. Nobody on earth can change the terms of the will. Can rewrite it. Say something different than what the apostles preached. Can't change it. Well, you need to mark that one down, because you have a lot of religious people today changing the terms of the will. They go, oh, Jesus said this, but I think we can do this some different way. Can't do that. No one has the authority to change the conditions of the will. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, beginning there, Paul said, I marvel, I'm just amazed, that you're so soon removed. That's not good. I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. It's not. Can't change it. He said, but there are some that would trouble you. They would pervert the gospel of Christ. Then he said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which I preach and you receive, let him be accursed. So Paul says, you know, when I was there the first time on my missionary journey, and you believed my message, and you repented, were baptized, and then I left, and I'm writing back to you this message. You don't go somewhere else. Come back and preach to you on another missionary journey something other than what I preached to you the first time. Don't believe me. Paul even said, if I change my message, don't believe it. You believe what I preached to you the first time, and that which you received. Even if you think you've received an angelic message, and it differs from what I preach to you and what you receive, don't believe it. It's not God's word. You may think you received an angelic message. You may be sincere in that. But the Bible says that if it differs from what the word of God says and what Paul had preached, it's not a heavenly message. Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it? That's strong language. It's an inspired message. Then the last one I put in the Revelation 22. John says, I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man, religious, council, synod, majority rule, no, the current fad, any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man take away from the words of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. Wow. So, the conclusion is, you know, Jesus, why did you die? Well, to set my testament in force. That's to be the death of the testator. So I just close with 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning of verse 7, where Paul said, to you who are troubled, rest with us, that with the revelation of Jesus from heaven with his angels in flaming fire, renders vengeance. And he mentions two classes of people. He'll render vengeance first upon those that know not God, and second upon those that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His might. I don't want that. I don't want that. So if I want what Jesus has to offer, those spiritual blessings, I need to obey the terms of the will. That's the lesson. I need to repent and be baptized if I haven't done that already. I need to be faithful till I die. So Jesus, why did you die? To set this in force, into effect. All right, I know I went rather quickly through that, but I have more to say. I have. But that'll get the lesson done, I hope. I gave you two pages so you can have the notes in more entirety, or just not just a quick word or blurb. So always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you haven't repented, you've been baptized. It's what the will says to do. So if you can, if you want what Jesus has to offer, you need to obey the terms of the will. When he was alive, like I said, he gave forgiveness of sins and salvation away six different ways. But not anymore. There's only one way, according to the terms of the will. So our custom is, let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis did for. If that's your desire, that's your resolve, just simply come and let that be known while we're singing this song of encouragement.